What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another podcast here at Fandango. My name is Eric Davis. Joining me, as always, is Sean O'Connell. And Sean, we're still suffering a little bit of the Comic-Con hangover.
Yes, I think we are. You know, it's a five-day sprint at a marathon's pace, unfortunately. And it's true. The last day, you know, the first day home, the last day of the con, the travel day, I guess for us, we're both East Coasters, so coming cross country, all of it tends to wear on you. And it's the excitement of it all. It's one big, it's like Christmas morning, you know, five times in a row on one day. And so it gets exhausting. It's a terrible, terrible problem to have, isn't it, you know, Eric, that we get to see such amazing things in such a beautiful location like San Diego, and we're not trying to complain, but it can be tiring.
It is. It's taxing. It's taxing on your body. You do a lot of walking, especially if you do a long, you know, those Saturdays now are becoming all full days in Hall H. Hall H, of course, is the big auditorium where they house all of the big movie and TV panels. And those are long days. I mean,
is it so much to get like a recliner? Can you put recliners in there right, with like cup holders instead of the folding chairs that we have to sit on for 9 hours?
We should get one of those. I'll tell you at the end of a long Saturday at Hall H, the smell is an interesting one.
Just leave it at that. Just the smell.
Just gonna leave it at that. But the footage was great. There were big announcements. You know, we recorded a podcast, and if you're listening to this and you haven't listened to the podcast that we recorded from Comic-Con, I think it went up on Sunday or Saturday night. Go listen to that because we talked about all the big stories that came out of it. And then today, you know, we're still kind of piggybacking on Comic-Con a little bit, but we're gonna pick out the biggest story, I think, the story that won Comic-Con this year is, of course, the fact that instead of Man of Steel 2, they're going to make a Batman and Superman team-up movie that is going to be, quote-unquote, informed by Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns. It's not inspired by it. It's not based on it. But the word they're using is informed by it. So we're going to try to answer some of those burning questions that you have about this movie, and we'll tell you what information is out there and what information is official and what we think of some of the stuff that isn't official. And then we'll get into the Wolverine, and I'll ask Sean a couple of questions about that because I haven't seen it. So Sean, Batman, Superman, let's talk about the first biggest question I think that people are going to have. Is this Christopher Nolan's Batman?
And I guess the answer we're getting from most parties involved is no. Is that right? I mean, I think Nolan has basically said, we did our trilogy and we've signed off on the characters. They now belong to Zack Snyder. He essentially said in a statement, we're very interested to see what Zack does with it. But from everything I'm getting, it's going to be a recast Batman. They are not going to back up the dump truck of money and give Christian Bale the Robert Downey Jr. type levels of cash to return to the role. And so we're going to get a brand new Batman who I think personally is going to be responding to the devastation of Metropolis and trying to figure out what he needs to do to investigate this new alien force and maybe put a stop to him. Because when you say that the quote from Frank Miller's, you know, The Dark Knight Returns is informing this, and the quote that they read is Bruce Wayne saying to Clark Kent, you know, I want you to remember the hand on the throat of the person who beat you. This is Batman versus Superman. It's not a team up. It's not these two guys, you know, taking the best of their powers and trying to stop a different force. It's really these two going at each other, and I think that might be their first step, you know, in terms of getting these two on the screen in the same film. It's going to be as antagonists.
Yeah, I mean, and that's how they treated the Avengers too. When that first happened, when Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor all met, they sort of fought each other, and it was quick. I think it'll be a little bit played out a little bit longer in this next film than it was in the Avengers. But you know, that's always a great angle to begin with. To take these two heroes, these two larger-than-life superheroes, and of course, the first time they meet, they're going to be like, well, you know, this is my turf. What are you doing, and what are you doing? Right. And, you know, and that's kind of how it's going to happen. And it's funny that you say Batman versus Superman, Superman versus Batman, because according to David S. Goyer, who's writing it, he wrote Man of Steel, and he had a hand in the Batman movies, Christopher Nolan's Batman movies. He said at Comic-Con that it's probably going to be called Batman versus Superman or Superman vs. Batman, with Batman vs. Superman being the most likely title. So that's the title we're going to get, and I think we should expect a storyline, yes, like you said, about Batman squaring off against Superman, and then possibly the two of them figuring out a way to work together to defeat a larger menace that's kind of probably percolating throughout the film.
Now, are you – before we move on, are you okay with them rebooting essentially or pretending that the Nolan – trilogy didn't happen and that we're good because I guess it allows them to do Bruce Wayne without having to bring back Christian Bale. But are you okay with and Goyer co-wrote, you know, or basically shepherded that whole trilogy, and now he's being asked by Warner DC to basically just, hey, can you reinvent what you reinvented already? Is that okay with you?
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit weird. I can understand it from two different sides, because if you make the Batman connected to Christopher Nolan's Batman universe, then it seems like we're still kind of living in that world where they're trying to launch something new and kind of continue an adventure. And I feel like Christopher Nolan wrapped up his Batman story. So I think the smartest way to go about it would be not to do an origin story of Batman, because I feel like, you know, the press release said that Amy Adams, Lawrence Fishburne are coming back. You know, all the Man of Steel supporting characters will be coming back. So I feel like this will be almost like a Man of Steel sequel. And then that just has Batman there too. And I think they'll, if they're smart, they'll understand the audience knows who Batman is, knows where he came from, and they'll just kind of kick this off and pick up wherever Batman is. It'll be interesting to see how they treat where we meet Batman, because once we get into Batman being Batman, everybody forgets everything that came before it. But that first kind of setup of Batman, I'm curious to see whether or not they make a nod to Nolan's universe. You know, some fans were having fun and saying if they ever wanted to connect the two at the end of The Dark Knight Rises, everybody was always criticizing the movie. Well, how did Batman survive that nuclear blast and then swim all the way from the middle of the ocean back to Gotham or wherever he swam to? Some people saying that maybe Superman saved him. That's how the movie should open up. Superman saving Batman from the ocean, and then Batman being like, who the hell are you? And then they fight. Who knows?
The theory I like is that in The Dark Knight Returns, it's an older Batman. It's an old Bruce Wayne. And we don't know necessarily on the timeline. We saw a Wayne Enterprises logo, you know, on the satellite, but we don't know when Man of Steel takes place. So why can't it take place, you know, 30 years after Rises, and we have an older Batman who has to put on the exoskeleton and beat the daylights out of Superman? You know, there are still a lot of unanswered questions, but we do know going forward, or at least, no, I'm sorry, we're still speculating. We think that they're going to be building out other standalone films. We've been hearing rumors about Flash in 2016 and Justice League in 2017, but we do agree this is the first step towards this larger universe. That's right.
Yeah, and it's exactly, and it's interesting because when all of this Batman Superman news was coming out, Hero Complex actually did say that they're building towards a Flash movie in 2016 and a Justice League in 2017, and then that kind of language disappeared from their story, and Warner Brothers did not make an official announcement to that, probably because they didn't want it to overshadow in any way this new Batman and Superman movie. So that information is kind of out there, and now people are sort of like, do we talk about it? But, you know, because it was there, but it's not there. So I think for the time being, we're going to say this Batman Superman movie, yeah, it's going to launch other films. I hope they do that Flash and then Justice League. That would be an interesting sort of trio.
So the big news will be who plays Batman. I mean, in the coming weeks and months, and as they start ramping up filming, because if this is due in theaters in 2015, they have to start filming soon. And I have to assume that Goyer and Zack Snyder's going to direct again. He was on stage at Hall H to announce this. I have to believe they did a lot of legwork behind the scenes, especially on Man of Steel, probably thinking, listen, we're going to do another one as long as this one makes the money that it makes. And we're going to probably introduce Batman. But so we want to know who it's going to be. Is it going to be Armie Hammer, who almost had a chance to be Batman in a Justice League movie? Or is it going to be someone totally different? You know, some people still want to see Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I don't think that that's the right choice. It's going to be that's a big mystery to answer.
Exactly. You know, and I mean, everybody I've talked to about this who's familiar with The Dark Knight Returns, yeah, they want that aging Batman. I think it would be a really interesting Batman to see on the big screen live action version, because we haven't seen that yet. The only problem is whenever you put the word aging into any character, Hollywood's like, can 32 be aging? You know, so you know, they get a little scared when they have to put an older character, especially for somebody like Batman, especially for a character that they're probably going to want to use now in a Justice League movie, maybe a cameo in a Flash movie, maybe in another Justice League movie. So, you know, how aging can this Batman really be? And then if you look at how they chose Superman, Henry Cavill, you know, he was an actor that was out there and people were maybe a little bit familiar, but he wasn't a star. Right. So I think that when we look at who they pick Batman to be, I wouldn't expect a star. I wouldn't expect somebody like Joseph Gordon-Levitt or George Clooney, you know, or somebody like that, you know, on that kind of level that it's immediately recognizable, because Henry Cavill was not.
Bring Val Kilmer back now. I want the now Val Kilmer back in the suit.
Oh God, that would be really interesting, but. I'm curious to see how they do it, and I think maybe we'll get a veteran Batman. I think we'll get a Batman who's experienced at being Batman, and a Batman who the world already knows and is familiar with, but I don't think he'll be that old, because Hollywood does not like old characters, and they especially don't like old superheroes. So, you know, expect, you know, a 30-something Batman who still has a six-pack, who's still pretty hot.
My only request is I want the light gray suit with the sky blue, you know, cape and cowl. That's what I'd like to see them go. I'm big on old costumes now. Like, I'm furious with the Wolverine because they never put him in his costume at all. Like, I want to see him in the yellow and blue, and especially walking around Comic-Con and seeing, you know, fans who are honoring these old versions of the costumes. We don't get them anymore. Maybe that's why I like The Amazing Spider-Man 2 so much, because the footage seems to be going back to the old costume, but we never get Wolverine in the traditional uniform. We don't get Batman. Like, everyone wears armor. Everything is armor now, especially since Iron Man broke out. It's all like metallic suits, and that's all you get.
Yeah, so. Basically. I mean, it would be nice to see maybe a couple of different suits for Batman. Who knows? Maybe he's evolved his wardrobe a little bit, and maybe he's got his Sunday afternoon Batman suit and his Saturday night Batman suit, and they could be different
right,
suits.
Before Labor Day, after Labor Day, all these
hey,
things.
They'll sell more Halloween costumes. But anyway, Sean, the Wolverine comes out this week from DC to Marvel. Let's talk about the Wolverine. Let's talk about whether or not fans can see will like it. Will like it more or less than the previous X-Men films. I have not seen it, so usually, as is the case when I have not seen a movie, I just ask you questions and put you on the spot. So
fair enough.
So I, you know, and I always try to ask the questions that people will want to know the answers to, the questions right. that if you're a fan or even if you're not a fan of the Wolverine, the first thing you're going to want to ask someone who's seen it, I'm going to ask you those questions. And of course, I will ask you not to try to spoil anything in your answers, because most of the people listening to this haven't seen it yet. So my first question, Sean, the biggest question people want to know is the Wolverine better than X-Men Origins Wolverine?
Yes, by a long shot, because it's a legitimate film by a legitimate director, and they treat it with a lot more seriousness than Origins did. And, you know, I went back and revisited Origins, and it gets off to a pretty decent start. It doesn't fall apart till about halfway through. And the funny thing is that this new Wolverine does have a third act that's very comic booky, and I won't get into details on that. But for the first two acts, it's the most serious treatment of this character yet. James Mangold directs with Hugh Jackman back in the role. And Hugh Jackman's been telling everybody up and down, any press opportunity he gets, he's letting people know this is the Wolverine movie that they've been building towards. And to that end, it's the best version that you've seen of the character in a standalone film. Now, he's only had the two. I still like, if we're talking about Jackman's portrayals of Wolverine, and he's a great Wolverine, he's fine. But, you know, in X-Men, in Singer's first X-Men and in X2, when he was a virtual unknown, and we were totally caught off guard by how good this guy was, this relative newcomer who we hadn't seen in other things, he blew me away in those parts. And what happens here, Eric, and it's really funny because we were talking about them casting a Batman, you know, and being able to use them multiple times. This is the sixth time now that we've seen Hugh Jackman in the Wolverine role. He's going to do it for a seventh time for X-Men Days of Future Past. And I'm just getting a little bit fatigued with his take on Wolverine. It's, you know, it feels like it's the same thing over and over again. So even though this is a new story, and even though it's the tradition, it's the classic Chris Claremont, Frank Miller story set in Japan that fans have been waiting for, seeing that unfold on screen wasn't enough for me as a casual Wolverine fan to really get invested in it. I thought they did a good job with it, and I think Hugh Jackman is a great Wolverine. I'm just at the point personally where I think it's time to maybe put a pin in the character as a whole, and let's turn our attention to some other X-Men, because we got a whole stable of mutants who don't have, you know, six on-screen portrayals. Holly Berry's probably like, well, can Storm get a short film, for God's sakes? So, you know, help a brother out. Because it's a lot of Hugh Jackman, it's a lot of Wolverine, and I'm starting to get a little bit tired of the character on the silver screen.
Yeah, I could see that happening, and it's interesting because Wolverine is a central character in X-Men Days of Future Past. He's going to be the connective tissue, so to speak, that connects the younger version of the X-Men right to the older version of the X-Men. But to a certain degree, I like that because, you know, kind of to what you said, I think Wolverine works better in an ensemble.
Yes.
I think at this point, after seeing him several times on the big screen, it'll be easier for us to digest him in an ensemble. And what I'm really looking forward to in Days of Future Past is seeing the Wolverine we're accustomed to play with all of these new younger X-Men that they introduced in First Class. It'll be fun to see him play with them, but then also reunite with some of his old friends from the original X-Men trilogy at the same time. Totally. We saw that footage, and that was my favorite part of the footage, is just seeing all of these X-Men characters. There's a lot of freaking characters, I'll tell you that.
But he was a scene stealer in the first two X-Men, you know, and that's where Jackman worked really well. That's where Wolverine works really well. He's sort of the anti-hero who's there to punch holes through the do-gooders like Cyclops and Storm and these guys. And Jackman was so good at that. And I totally understand why they want to build franchises around Wolverine, and especially Jackman. He's extremely charismatic. He's a really good actor. And I don't in any way want to, you know, say that this is a bad movie, because it's not. And especially if you're a big Wolverine fan, I think that this is the story that you've been waiting for. And they handle it well for the most part. I'm just saying, personally, I'm waving the white flag just a little bit on this character and saying it's time to start thinking in a different direction.
I think they will. I think the Wolverine's going to make bonkers money, but I agree with you. I think after Days of Future Past, they're going to reassess kind of where they go from here, especially in this new age.
I think that's why First Class was so refreshing.
Yeah.
You know, it was different mutants, and it was Magneto and Professor X who've been in all of the X-Men films up to this point, but again, different versions of them. I even think it might be time they could probably do a Wolverine story and perish the thought, put someone besides Hugh Jackman in it. You know, give someone else a chance to maybe bring a fresh angle to it. I got the impression watching it that I already knew what Jackman was going to do in almost every scene, because we've seen him do it already up to this point.
Question number two.
Yes.
You know, I was at Comic-Con. I watched the reel that they had for the Wolverine during that Fox mm-hmm. panel, and it was freaking intense.
Right.
I'm talking, there's a scene where a sword goes through Wolverine, and then he puts his knives through someone's neck, and then he pulls his knives out of someone's neck, and then he pulls the sword out of him. So, you know, in this summer of superhero movies, parents are asking a lot. Can I take my kid to see this movie? Can I take him to see Iron Man 3? Can I go to Star Trek? Can we go to Man of Steel? I've been asking you this question for all of these movies throughout the summer. This one, I think, more than the other ones, looks kind of violent. So when can we take our kids to see the Wolverine?
I would put it, if I were to come up with an age, I would say that 12 or 13 is about the same, is about where it should be. And I know it's a PG-13 movie. And James Mangold said recently in the press that he actually thinks it probably should have gotten an R, but the Motion Picture Association of America does not consider mutants to be humans. So you can dice them, slice them and dice them and not get an R rating. But one thing he does that actually, as I was watching it, it softened my opinion, because I saw that reel like you did, and that reel was hard-hitting and violent, and I think that that's the message they wanted to get across to that Comic-Con crowd of, hey, we're not pulling our punches here. But it's largely bloodless. It's acrobatic. It's when Wolverine's like chopping away at ninjas, you don't see like limbs come off and blood go spurting.
It's not a Kill Bill movie.
Yeah, not at all. So it's like he'll hit somebody, and you know where that he's hitting him with claws, with razor sharp claws, but the guys just sort of like tumble down, and he goes through these, you know, armies and armies of ninjas. It didn't strike me as particularly violent. I think what might keep a parent from bringing a really young kid to it is that the story tries to treat itself more seriously and try to get into the emotional moments of Wolverine, and I don't know if a kid's going to be interested in that. There's a lot of stuff about like about building up a warrior's honor and the passing of the torch and the Yakuza clan of who has power and who is the successor to this guy who's passing away. And it was an interesting story as an adult, but I just think kids will be like, when is Wolverine going to put a costume on and fight somebody? And when the fight sequences come, they're great. There's a bullet train sequence in this that you've seen in some of the trailers, and they've worked on that effect, and it looks really, really good in the finished product, and I think kids will dig that. But there's a lot of story in it, and I think if they don't want to chew over a lot of the story, you know, they're going to lose interest in it because it can move a little bit slowly until some of the big action sequences come. So I'd say 12 or 13, but I wasn't as turned off by the comic book violence as I was in something like Man of Steel, which seemed way more angry and violent. I'd put this more on a par with like the Iron Man film from earlier this summer. And I think that even if your kid is a diehard Wolverine fan and he's read a ton of the books, I think you can go to this and he'll be okay with it. He or she will be okay with it.
What about someone who has no idea really who Wolverine is, maybe didn't see any of the other X-Men movies, but is like their friends want to go see the Wolverine and they don't want to sit home by themselves on Friday night. So they're like, I guess I'll go. Will they enjoy this film? Do you have to see all of the other 14,000 X-Men movies in order to enjoy the Wolverine?
They will like 25% of it, essentially. I mean, it's aimed at people who have been following this character all along. It's not that it'll be confusing to them. They'll be able to follow the storyline, but it won't mean as much to them. It won't matter as much. It's not like – it's not a standalone film, the fact that it introduces him as this character on this mission that has to be fulfilled to this certain point. It's an overlong journey that this character has been on, and I think – and especially because there's a – if you go stay through the end credits, there's a post-credit tease. And, you know, someone said as our screening was ending last night, that last 30 seconds was the best part of the movie. And that's an exaggeration, I think, but that's how they felt, because it does look ahead to Days of Future Past. But if you don't know any of these characters, it won't make any sense to you. And it's just not going to have that sort of gut punch. So, yeah, it's OK. But it's not like Pacific Rim, where you can just go into it as a standalone thing and just have fun with it. This is definitely another piece of a much larger puzzle that's been developing for years.
Okay, so if you're a Wolverine fan, go see it. If you're not a Wolverine fan, maybe you want to see The To-Do List, which is another comedy that's coming out this weekend, starring Aubrey Plaza and like every single one of her friends who you've seen from Saturday Night Live and Arrested Development and various shenanigans all over the place. I'm talking about people like Andy Samberg and Bill Hader and Donald Glover and Rachel Bilson and Johnny Simmons and yada, yada, yada. It's about a girl who and I think this backs up to the 90s, early 90s, kind of when we probably were in school, in high school, and about a girl who is going to college and wants to kind of fulfill all of these sexual experiences before she goes to college, so this way she doesn't get there and is isn't in the know, so to speak. I haven't seen it. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it, no.
So we can't – unfortunately, we can't recommend or not recommend it. But I will say that based on the cast and the trailers, it looks really funny. It's going to be expect to learn a lot about some sexual terms.
Bodily fluids.
And bodily fluids, maybe that you're not so familiar with. It is going to be sexually charged comedy, and it's
– And if you come home from it and you like Aubrey Plaza, rent Safety Not Guaranteed on Netflix, which is another chance at turning her into a silver screen star and a really delightful time travel comedy, which I love.
Exactly. You know, and it's funny. Before I saw Safety Not Guaranteed, I was a fan of Aubrey Plaza, but I always thought she was very one note. She was always just like, here's the girl that doesn't care about it, everything – very flippant about everything, and you know, the kind of dry humor from her, and I didn't see a lot of range from her. I saw Safety Not Guaranteed, and I was like, oh my god, she smiles in this movie. it was a side of Aubrey Plaza I hadn't seen yet, and so this kind of continues that journey for her to the big screen, puts her in a lead role, and I'm curious to see how she does and how it does. Written and directed by a female, which is rare this summer. I saw somebody put a stat up that says out of all of the wide releases that have come out in 2013, only a couple or so have been directed by females.
Yeah, women are definitely underappreciated at the theater. I heard a stat that, like, from here till the end of the year, there's only one other film coming out that has a female director. And I know that there aren't a lot of female directors working today in films, and I don't know if just because they're not getting the opportunities, but you want films like The To-Do List to do well, because then, you know, there are a lot of women working in television right now on films like – on shows like New Girl, but they should have opportunities to branch out and work on feature films, because I think a lot of them have really good senses of humor, really good storytelling chops, and just need the opportunity.
Exactly. You know, and I am happy that a couple of the big comedies that we've gotten this summer are female-led comedies. The Heat was one of them. The To-Do List is another one. So that is a good thing. And, you know, go support female comedies. Go support female filmmakers. Go see The To-Do List if The Wolverine is not your cup of tea. And let us know what you think. And as always, let us know what you think about everything we talked about, from Batman to Superman, and what you want to see in the movie, to what you thought about The Wolverine, and what you thought about The To-Do List. And of course, you know, Sean, we'll be back here next week, I think.
Smurfs 2. Smurfs 2, of course. We'll do the whole podcast on Smurfs 2.
It'll be just the Smurfs as characters. I'm going to be doing it as Papa Smurf, and Sean will be the Purple Smurf.
The Purple Smurf? I don't even know who
there
that is.
There is a Purple Smurf. The Purple Smurf does exist in the cartoons. It's a scary Smurf. I will be vacationing Smurf, because we will probably record while I'm away in North Carolina, in your neck of the woods.
Yes, come on by. I'll make you a pitcher of sweet tea, and we'll talk Smurfs too.
On your porch in a couple of rockers, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Sean O'Connell, thank you very much for spending this time with me, and thank you for listening. Everyone out there, let us know what you think. Any comments, questions, concerns, just put them down in the comment section below, and we will get to you ASAP. Thank you for listening, of course, and enjoy your weekend at the movies.